Welcome to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. In this week's program, Monk on the Move, we unpack how an art exhibition travels to three countries.
Over here, so there's room for the painting.
See the report? It's stable.
Hello, I am Angela Lipperis. I am one of the registrars for the Clark, and I am here in Williamstown overseeing the deinstallation of Edvard Munch's Trembling Earth as we pack the paintings and works on paper loans to go on to the next venue in Potsdam.
My name is Margrethe Mulikvall, and I am a registrar at the Munch Museum in Oslo. I am currently working on this outgoing loan for the Trembling Earth exhibition, and we're now preparing for 39 works that will be traveling to Potsdam.
And I am Susan Stone, in Potsdam, Germany, just outside Berlin, where the Museum Barberini will be hosting the exhibition Edvard Munch, Trembling Earth. As an arts lover and journalist, I have visited many exhibitions, and it's always special to see one that's come from far away. But what does it take for an exhibition to go on a journey? And how does it change when it's set up at another venue in a different country? Let's find out. The Norwegian artist Edvard Munch is best known for his expressionist painting, The Scream. Created in 1893, its evocative portrayal of human anxiety has so far prompted museums to develop exhibitions exploring his psychology and biography. Now, for the first time, this groundbreaking Munch exhibition looks at his images of landscapes and nature. The show started at the Clark Art Institute in the U.S., continues its journey to the Museum Barberini, and then moves on to the Munch Museum in Oslo. In each of these museums, there is a key figure behind the scenes, the registrar. They make it possible for a picture to travel in the first place. So, let's rejoin Margrethe in Oslo as she is preparing works to be shipped to Potsdam.
We are currently in a highly restricted area where we do the packing. It's only access to registrars, art handlers, and so forth. I'm standing here in front of the painting, The Cabbage Field. It has previously been shown in Düsseldorf, in London, and as well as in-house at the Munch Museum. So our art handler, Stefan, is currently bringing out the crate for the painting, The Cabbage Field. So we're just opening the lid of the crate. There's a piece of protective foam that will be covering the painting, and some screws as well. You make sure that the crate is nice and clean, that there's no dust, no anything that can potentially harm the painting. We will do some vacuuming. So now that the crate is perfectly cleaned, the cabbage field is now ready to be placed within its crate. So once the painting has been placed within its crate, I will take a photo. So if there were something to happen during transport, we have a photo documenting how it was. As a registrar, I have been working very closely with the registrars at both Clark and Barberini.
The three of them have carefully coordinated the shipments from Williamstown and Oslo to arrive in Potsdam on the same day. From now on, it's the registrar at the Barberini, Matthias Heidbrink, who takes the lead. He is the man receiving all the crates.
So just to give you an idea of what has happened, we just cleared the first truck that has been arriving from Williamstown. What we will be now experiencing is the arrival of the truck from Oslo. What you will see is just a lot of crates coming off the truck and a busy registrar making crosses, and I just have to check if all the crates that are supposed to arrive arrived here in Potsdam.
We have to go forward because otherwise we cannot close the gate, but this is not going to be a problem.
Okay, yeah.
But I think we have to wait for the customs service first because Mr. Finke is still on the telephone.
Okay.
The crates arrive in a sealed truck.
So since the loans are not coming from the EU, but from Norway, which is not part of the EU, we have to wait for the custom clearance. But my colleague is now calling the custom service to ask for permission to open the truck.
Also present is a courier from the Munch Museum.
I'll just take the picture of the seal.
Okay, so can we open it?
Yeah, absolutely.
The back of the truck faces a large open gate. a gate you wouldn't notice when it is closed, as it blends in with the classical-style architecture of the building. Behind the open gate is a cargo lift. The crates are heaved onto trolleys and then rolled off the truck one after another into the lift.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you very much. See you next time. Take care.
When the lift is full, it goes down into the basement of the museum.
So we're going first way down.
We are invited to come along and share the lift with the precious cargo. After Matthias has safely stored the crates, we catch up with him to find out how the day has gone.
Yeah, it was a classical evening of reception, if I can say it like this. And now we have parked the crates inside our exhibition space. They are here for acclimatization. When paintings arrive at a venue of the exhibition, they have to make an acclimatization of 24 hours. We'll be ahead of these 24 hours because we have Friday and we will be installing the exhibition from Monday with two painting conservators from the Munkmuseum. A few days later, we'll have two paper conservators coming. And of course, we will also have a lot of other couriers. Couriers are always mostly conservators that check if everything is still in the same condition as the artwork has left the lender.
The artworks all have their individual stories, but what story do they tell together in the grand scheme of the exhibition? Curator Jill Lloyd knows all about its concept.
We divide the exhibition into all these various chapters. The forest, from there we go on to the cultivated nature, the gardens and the farms. We have a chapter about the places along the Oslo Fjord that Munch visited. We have a chapter about snow and storm.
We refers to her co-creators, who have devised the exhibition for the Munch Museum and the Clark Art Institute, respectively.
It started off at the Clark Art Institute, a slightly smaller version of the exhibition, and now we're at the Barberini. The Barberini version and the Munch Museum version are much more similar, but of course the spaces will be very different, because this is a beautiful, classical space with high ceilings, and the new Munch Museum is a totally contemporary space. So it'll be very interesting to see how a similar content appears very differently when you hang it in a different space.
In order to install the exhibition at the Barberini, the museum is closed for visitors, so it's very quiet in the house when we return on Monday and make an interesting discovery.
The entrance, where visitors usually just wander into the exhibition halls without a further thought, is now blocked by a heavy steel door. Only very few people are allowed in. So we're very lucky that they let us in, too, to see what happens behind that door. It's a large space with sumptuous dark green walls. It's a quiet, concentrated atmosphere. There are art handlers unpacking the crates. There are conservators checking the conditions of the paintings. Moving between them is Angela, the registrar from the Clark Art Institute. Amidst all this, there's Matthias.
For me, it's always the forest room, because a lot of paintings have forest as a topic. We started the installation week with a very precise installation plan. What artwork do we install with which team, with which courier, because this is all connected to a certain date.
For this exhibition, how many pictures have you had to arrange transit for?
We are receiving a little less than 120 artworks. Not everything of these are huge paintings. There are also smaller works of paper, lithographs, and so on.
How many have you got so far?
90%, if not even more. We are just waiting for a few works coming from German lenders.
So where are the paintings coming from?
We have a few lenders from the United States, the MoMA in New York, or the Kimball Art Institute in Texas. We have a lot of lenders all over Europe, not only from the Munch Museum, but also from the National Museum in Oslo, also from Finland, from German institutions that are close by. And there's one institution in Paris that is lending to our show.
This is the Munch Museum, let's call.
After his call,
hey, Margarete.
He tells me more about his role as a registrar.
the registrar is always the one talking about all this that has nothing to do with the content of the exhibition, because this is the curator's world, but our world is insurance, shipping, installation, and so on.
That's a world not too many people know much about.
Not at all. No, I think the job of a registrar comes very much from the Anglo-Saxon world during the last 10, 15, maximum 20 years. Before that, a lot of the curators had to do this job as well.
How long have you been working on this project?
Since I'm working here, almost 3 years, I'm working also on this MOOC exhibition.
When you go to sleep, do you sometimes see these paintings?
I saw them when I started working as a registrar, one of my first exhibitions. I didn't really think of renting a storage for empty crates, and all the empty crates always stayed in one corner of the exhibition space. It was another museum with much more space. But I had to get rid of the crates, and went to bed, and I was dreaming of crates all around me.
But you go ahead, it's not
the case. We start the day by getting crates.
Inge Grimstad is one of the painting conservators from the Munch Museum, who has come here as a courier.
Today is the second day of the installation, and we're hanging the section Cultivated Land. The cabbage field is part of that section, and we're going to open it now.
Art handlers are opening the crate with the cabbage field, the painting we heard earlier being packed in Oslo. Inge and a local conservator are now checking its condition to ensure the artwork has arrived safely.
Yeah, it's better for us to take off the decorative frame.
Works on loan are always checked on site by both the lending and the borrowing institution.
We have the condition report. We have these areas with small losses, but they're all original. But they're prone to lifting, so we just need to check and see if they're stable. So then we need our magnifiers and our flashlights, so we can observe the surface. That's quite amusing to paint the cabbage field, but it's got all the beautiful colors. The blues and the greens and the purples. The cabbage field has not been on loan very much, and I think there are several reasons for it. Today we've become so digital. Our whole collection is available online, so the information is available to everyone, whereas before we ended up using the same paintings over and over again because people found their information in catalogs from former exhibitions, and that was all they knew. So the last few years we're using a much wider part of our collection, which is great.
While the painting, The Cabbage Field, has hardly traveled, one Munch painting that is leading an almost jet-set life is White Night. It has crossed continents to be shown in Brussels, Barcelona, Tokyo, Toronto, New York, and belongs to the National Museum in Oslo. In order to install it here in Potsdam, the painting's conservator from the National Museum, Ida Bronken, has flown in from Norway as a courier.
We tried not to talk about courier trips because we don't want people to know when our paintings are moving and where they're going. It's okay when it's on the wall, then people know it's an exhibition, but we don't talk about the trips.
But before she actually gets to travel with a painting,
we have a loans committee, and usually if people want to loan art from us, they have to apply to this committee at least sort of 6 or 9 months ahead. And then security and registrars and art historians and conservators come together and they judge if the loan is important, if it's a good exhibition it's going to, if the artworks are in a condition to travel. And then often it gets really hectic around all these rotating seasons because everybody changes exhibition at the same time. So then we have to be enough people to make sure that we can be in Massachusetts and Berlin and Oslo and Stockholm and Copenhagen at the same time.
Each room in the exhibition has a theme, and we are in the section called Snow and Storm, where the painting White Night is going to be hung.
It was shown in America, so this last year it's been traveling twice with me. It's one of his very atmospheric paintings. I love it. Yeah.
But it's not new.
Shall I open some of my photographs? And
Yeah.
So we are just sure.
Once Ida and a local conservator have checked the picture, they sign the condition report. Since the painting traveled to Potsdam from the Clark Art Institute, its registrar, Angela,
needs to sign too.
And then we have to tell
Massachusetts.
And sign that everything is signed. No change.
No changes. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The painting is now placed against the wall to determine its exact spot for hanging.
Look at that color with that painting. It looks like it's made. It's beautiful.
The wall color is like a bottle green, sort of bluish green, very close to the emerald green that Munch used.
With the painting almost in place, is Ida's courier job done?
I cannot leave until it's really locked to the wall, and I have to photograph everything and report back to our security boss.
You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. I'm Susan Stone at the Museum Barberini in Germany to find out what it takes to mount the traveling exhibition Edvard Munch, Trembling Earth. It's a few days later, and there's a different buzz in the air. The paintings are hung, and the team moves on to installing the works that Munch created on paper.
It's a new situation for us today.
Today we hang graphic works.
We had a change of plan.
One of our paper conservators fell ill, so we have to step in for her.
And our two painting conservators that we've been working with now stay here for 1.5 days longer.
That's actually quite exciting because we don't often do that. And I love seeing Munch's graphic works because they are absolutely marvelous.
Painting conservator Inga Grimstad and registrar Matthias Heidbrink.
Installing works on paper just always different than installing paintings, because installing paintings is always much more straightforward. We have one huge wall inside our exhibition where we got a so-called Petersburg hanging. So it's not like works on paper are like pearls on a string, but they are like in a cloud. One is hanging higher than the other one.
The Petersburg hanging is in a turquoise room featuring colorful beach scenes. Here, we join curator Jill Lloyd and her assistant, who are in the middle of solving a puzzle. How to arrange these works on paper.
If we're thinking of having the big ones grouped in the center, we could have separation in the middle. Well, maybe we stick with the very big ones in the middle.
Yeah.
How much of the setup is planned in advance?
The vast majority of it. But there are always surprises. And here we weren't expecting the passepartout to be quite as big as they are. If we do the text there, that would balance things out nicely. Yeah.
While the team turns its attention to installing the works on paper, Angela's time at the Barberini comes to an end. The registrar from the Clark Art Institute explains her responsibilities.
I am here in Potsdam now, overseeing the loans that came from the Clark because they were covered under the U.S. government indemnity. And my presence here is mainly to ensure that everything looks okay at the incoming condition report and to formally transfer coverage to the Barberini.
You've seen these works packed up. What's it like to see them unpacked?
A relief, usually, that everything has arrived safely. That's our biggest concern, but it's also fun to see how the paintings come to life as they're placed against a different wall color in a different space. But it's also like seeing a friend again and feel like you're still in a caretaking relationship with the paintings. It's hard to believe it's the end of this project because it's been 2.5 years of seeing the paintings, seeing them on the computer, on checklists, and then to see them come to life and now to be saying farewell for now.
As Angela gets ready to say goodbye to Munch's art, we rejoin Matthias back in the room, snow and storm.
We had the chance to listen in a little bit on the curator talking about where they're going to place some of the works and moving little things around. So there was a bit of change going on today.
I can say it's not the only wall that has been changed entirely for today, because we are standing in another room, and here the plan of this corner of the room has changed completely. And this is the proof that as a curator, one always, in the end, has to stand in front of the original. If you only have the images in your computer and you click around with them and you arrange your walls virtually, it's a nice support, but it's never like, what is that frame? What is that color? And so on. And we had the same situation today, that we have completely changed the schedule concerning one American loan from a private collection and another loan that is going to be installed this afternoon. The only thing is, and our curators know this, and every curator knows that, as soon as the curator has left, we are not allowed to touch the artworks anymore. So when the curator leaves, decisions must be final.
What's curator Jill Lloyd's take on that last-minute change?
It's in the room about snow and storm, and we have a very important loan from MoMA, a storm painting, and we wanted to really highlight that. But at the same time, we wanted a very strong image for the exit to the room. And the last painting that we'd hung digitally simply wasn't strong enough when it arrived. It's a good painting, but it's not of the strength of some of the other works in the room. So we just changed things around, and now we have, I think, a very beautiful painting of a snow-covered forest as the last work in the room, and the MoMA painting is on its individual wall.
And yet you do have a little bit of pressure, because there comes a point at which you cannot change the order of the paintings anymore.
Yes, absolutely. The couriers, they have to be present when the work is on the wall, and once it's in place, you can't move it.
One of the paintings that many people know best from Munch is The Scream. We do have The Scream here, but it's not the painting.
No, it is actually impossible to borrow the painted versions now. They're fragile. They're also such a central feature of the Oslo museums that they can't lend them. So we knew from the beginning that in all likelihood we would be able to show the print.
Which picture has been particularly hard to get?
Well, it was hard to get even a print version of The Scream. And I did run through quite a few private collectors before the private collector who has lent kindly agreed to lend. The Scream is always extremely difficult. At one point I thought I could borrow it from a Norwegian private collector, and then that particular version went to Paris, so it couldn't travel here. You've got to be very careful with the works on paper, because they have to be very light controlled. If they've travelled to one place, they shouldn't travel immediately afterwards. They should rest for several months.
What's left on your checklist?
Well, today I want to go through and read the English texts that I haven't read. I did notice the English wall texts have arrived now.
Since you mentioned wall texts, is that something that you're very involved with?
I was very involved in this instance because the texts partly came from the Clark Art Institute in English. I wrote texts in English. Some texts were written in German, and it all had to be welded together.
And how much do the texts and the context change when you move from the United States to Germany and then to Norway?
That changes a lot, because each museum has its own house rules, house style, house habits. Here the texts are shorter than they were in America, because they don't want them exceeding a certain word count. The Norwegians will have both sets of texts to work with. They will probably combine them in some way or introduce their own elements.
And for Registrar Matthias, what remaining tasks are on his mind?
We will be doing installation views. This is important for our archive, but this is also important for the lending institutions, because they would like to see how their artworks are installed. And as soon as the photographer has made his installation views, we will put the benches into the exhibition. We always have a plan, where do we put our benches? This is something the curator also decides.
And do the lenders have any say in this? Can they say, hey, I don't really want a bench in front of my picture because it's just too much traffic?
This very much sounds like a usual lender's request. You get familiar with the work of a registrar, but honestly, I've never read this demand in a loan agreement.
You know, when we started talking to you several days ago, it seemed like you were seeing almost a box on the wall rather than the content.
Well, first of all, as a registrar, you see lenders. You see what has arrived safely from which lender, and did everything go all right. If one is almost finished, you can concentrate more and more also on what you see inside the painting, and suddenly you see, oh, that's quite good looking, I like it.
A few days later, all is set to open the museum's doors again for the world to see these paintings too. The first peek comes at the press conference featuring guests from Norway.
On behalf of the Munch Museum, I'm exceptionally proud to see Munch presented here today.
In the audience is Trine Ottobak Nilsen, the curator from the Munch Museum, where the show is heading after its run at the Barberini. As a Munch specialist, what are her first impressions walking through the exhibition?
What I'm noticing. I notice works that are not ours, then that's very nice. always love to see how works from other collections mix together with our works.
Upstairs in the room with the beach scenes, the Petersburg hanging and the turquoise walls.
Very nice, strong colors. It's always nice to have colors on the wall when you have works on paper, too, I think.
Among them is a special work, Young Woman on the Beach, a vividly colored print.
It's a unique print. It doesn't exist so many different versions of it. We actually have one at the Munk Museum. It has been exhibited so much, so it can't be included, unfortunately. I think that's maybe the only one. That's also the main difference of the prints, because of light exposure. I really like the grouping here with one wall of just print. I'm also thinking of doing something similar. It's very inspiring. It inspires us to continue working. If you have been here first and then you go to Oslo, you will see another type. You will feel the difference in a good way, I hope. And that's also what I think is so interesting with the three exhibitions, that you see these different takes on it.
The exhibition Edvard Munch, Trembling Earth, has been a huge success for the Museum Barberini as well as the Clark Art Institute. And Trina's vision for the show can now be seen at the Munch Museum in Oslo. As most paintings in the exhibition belong to the Munch Museum, their journey ends here. For the others, Registrar Margrethe is in touch with couriers to collect them and return them to their respective homes in the different parts of the world. You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, presented by me, Susan Stone. The producer was Sabina Scherich, and the executive producer was Andrea Kidd.